Okay, my name's Danny Dessen. I'm a certified mental performance consultant with the Association for Applied Sports Psychology. I'm a sports psychology consultant or mental performance coach, whatever you want to call it. And I'm based here in Billings, Montana. And I have here with me Gabby Weber. She is, if you haven't heard her story, and if you haven't watched the special on MontanaSports.com, One Day at a Time, you should definitely do so. So Gabby, please inform me. I know a lot about your situation, but and a lot of other people do. Give us like the quickest story through your injury. Like if you were on an elevator and you were going to tell somebody, what would it be?
It all started with a calf cramp. That's always what I tell people, and they kind of laugh at that. But yeah, it was just December 15th, and every game since then, I just started to severely cramp in my calf. And finally, about four games in, my trainer pulled me out and told me we need to be done until we figure out what's going on. And so we started seeing doctors, and that's when my foot started to swell up really big, and I started to lose feeling. It started to lose its pulses in my foot, and so that's when I was on crutches. And so that's when we kind of really started seeing the big major doctors around Montana. And about right before we went to Mayo Clinic at the beginning of February last year, we saw a vascular surgeon who started floating around the word of, you know, if we don't get this fixed, you're gonna, you know, there's a possibility of you losing your leg. So yeah, that was a huge turning point for us, I think, in the sense of an oh crap moment. Like, we just started to realize how serious it really was. So I was diagnosed with popliteal artery entrapment, you know, beginning of February last year at Mayo Clinic, and they flew me home to have surgery down in Billings with a vascular surgeon down here. And when he went in there, he found that, you know, the artery, vein, and nerve were all being cut off. So he was able to fix the vascular part of it, but the nerve part is just a whole different monster. So that's kind of been the biggest struggle, is battling nerve damage. So since then, it's been just rehabbing away and...
Yeah, continual rehab.
Exactly.
And you're still going through it on a regular basis.
Yes, yeah, I go, yeah, twice a week, sometimes every day of the week, as much as I can get in there and do it, so...
Okay, so you mentioned a little bit in the story about the mental health stuff, mm-hmm. and being down. And I talk with athletes about that a lot, you know, going through stages of grief, especially mm-hmm. with your diagnosis and the information that you got thrown at you. You know, it's definitely confusing, mm-hmm. and you have your roller coaster that you go up and down on. So some things that you did throughout your process that I try to give to athletes all the time,
right.
that you just seem to do naturally in a lot of situations. First one, you know, as far as mental skills, first one is goal setting.
Yeah.
How did you go about goal setting throughout the workout?
That was huge for me, was goal setting. And at first I liked to set them a little bit too big for me. Mm-hmm. So my PT and other people that I was working with told me that I needed to start really small, because then I'm reaching those small goals and it makes me feel like I'm working towards something bigger. So, you know, I would just sit down with him. I'd sit down with whoever I was working with at the time, and we would just discuss, you know, what are your goals right now? And, you know, and he would ask me, what's the biggest goal you have? And for me, that was getting back to basketball. So we put that at the very far end of a piece of paper, was that's the big goal. We circled it, and then we kind of made a tree in the sense of, okay, what are you going to do to get there? So it could have been like, you know, doing my exercises every morning and, you know, reaching those goals first and checking off those things when I'm able to do those things efficiently. And it was just all about reaching the small goals and being able to go to the bigger mm-hmm. ones. So I think that was probably the most important thing for me, was setting those goals and being able to reach them and seeing that I'm reaching them and I am getting somewhere, even if they're very small steps, you know, they're still steps forward. So
the way I like to characterize that is outcome, performance, process goals. And
exactly.
I'm sure you probably heard that before too. But when you get in an injury situation, mm-hmm. You have to reframe goals like you've never, you know, you never thought you'd have to think about doing certain movements in rehab. So,
absolutely.
And I'm glad you did that. So, how about journaling? How did that go? What did you do with journaling?
I journaled a lot, actually, from the beginning of seeing doctors. So, it was about like maybe 2 weeks into just having those calf cramps, and you know, my parents actually said, you know, it might be good for us to just keep a journal of, you know, what you're going through, you know, not just physically, but maybe mentally, just writing down those things, because we didn't really have a lot of time, especially me, to process this stuff mentally, because we were always in a new doctor's office trying to figure out what was wrong, doing more tests. So I never really got to like let things soak in and process them mentally and being able to put that behind me. So it was pretty huge for me to journal and being able to look back on that when I've had downtime to process them, open those doors and process those emotions and things I went through, and then coping with them in a healthy way and getting through those. And that's been huge for me. So it's kind of weird to look back at, you know, what I journaled from, you know, a year ago to now. So, but I also keep, like, that's a part of my prayer book. So it's cool to look back in my prayer book and see what I prayed for and then see where I am today. So
that's really good.
Yeah.
And yeah. Did you feel like when you wrote things down that it was just kind of off your chest a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah. When I didn't know how to put it into words or how to talk about it, I just would write it down, and it kind of helped me sleep better at night, was just to get those thoughts on paper out of my mind. So
yeah,
for sure.
That's good. Okay, third thing, mental skill that you used is visualization or imagery.
Yeah.
So tell me about what you visualized.
Oh my gosh, I think it was all the way from like visualizing my foot moving the way I wanted it to move to being back on the floor again. So it was just, I started probably really small with just, you know, in PT, I would close my eyes and we'd visualize like, you know, moving your foot. I would think really hard about that, and I would do it every morning and every night, and then throughout the day, if I was just feeling anxious, I would start to visualize things that that I knew I could get to. So that was another huge thing for me, was to visualize it and say, like, I'm going to get there, you know, I just need to, you know, keep telling myself that we're going to get there, and visualizing that, you know, I'm going to get there. So yeah, that was huge. So, and I think it helped big time in the PT part of my life, just because, you know, with nerve damage, staring at it and like getting angry about it just doesn't make things better. So, you know, it would, every single time I would do exercises with my PT, I would close my eyes and imagine myself doing it, even if I wasn't, you know, really doing it. It helped to make me feel like I was doing it. So, yeah.
And so in visualization, did you find that the more you did it, the more detailed you can get?
Yeah.
Vivid your images would be?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So it was a skill that took a long time to practice to where it is now. Absolutely. You still using it?
I am. I do it before every game. I visualize how I want my shots to look, how I want the game to look, what I want to do, how I want to see the court. So, yeah.
Okay.
I do it a lot. It's been, like, the most helpful thing for me through this journey. So
that's good. So the last thing that I know that you use is self-talk or affirmations. Mm-hmm. Did you ever come up with any sort of statements that helped you throughout your toughest times? And I know that there was some that were in that original story.
I came up with a few, and, you know, everything from a couple Bible verses that I chose to the word hupernikeo, and that word has probably been my biggest statement that I've used to help get me through the toughest days. And hupernikeo means to be more than a conqueror, and so I really took that to heart, and that's what I wanted to be through this. You know, having doctors tell you that you may not play basketball again, or you may not be able to do this, you know, you may not be able to run fully again, you may not be able to function, you know, normally again with that leg. But holding on to that word, I think, got me through those toughest days, just to, you know repeat that to myself and tell myself that I'm going to be more than a conqueror. And that was a huge thing for me, and it still is. I mean, even, you know, just because I'm back on the court doesn't mean I don't have tough days still. So I definitely think that's been like the biggest thing for me, was that word. And also, one day at a time. Everybody around me preached that we couldn't look, you know, a few days, weeks, months, years down the road, because this was an injury that we just didn't know what the outcome was going to be. So we just had to take it one day at a time and worry about, you know, the next hour ahead of us, not the next, you know, week ahead of us. So those two were pretty big ones for me. Mm-hmm.
So two big aspects of that self-talk and those cues that you used are the meaning and the importance to you. Mm-hmm. So if I came up with something for you, it wouldn't really mean much to you, right? So where did you come up? Where did you hear that?
Right.
Hupernikeo and.
So actually, I was getting an MRI done, and a nurse. I was really upset that day, and I had to be in a position in the MRI machine that just was hurting me. So I was kind of getting emotional about it, and he came in and. He kind of, comforted me and told me a story about the word hupernikeo that helps him get through life. And it was about how he lost his younger sister to cancer. And his pastor told him that he just needs to hold on to the word hupernikeo. And that just means to be more than a conqueror. And so he told me that story. And ever since then, that's all I've wanted to be. And that's all I've... That's just something huge that I've hung on to since.
That's good.
Since then, so.
Now, number two is timing.
Yeah.
When to use it.
Right.
And I don't want to get into too much of it, but at what moments were you using that more than others?
Probably in the moments when I really wanted to give up. Yeah. Like there were days where I didn't want to get out of bed, or I didn't want to go to school, or I didn't want to work towards basketball anymore. There's countless times I threw my basketball shoes away, actually. And I'd be upset, and in those moments I'd instantly think of that word, and it would make me go get my basketball shoes out of the trash. And I'd kind of calm myself down and talk myself through those things. And I think you have to just be your biggest fan, and you just have to always be positive with yourself, and you just have to always be there for yourself. So definitely when I was down at the lowest is when I used those words. So
okay. Now that transitions well into your one day at a time movement.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it on Twitter all the time. And so what inspired you to do that?
It's kind of a weird thing. I was just thinking, I have friends who have been through injuries, and we always talk about how it just seems like when people get injured, you just kind of feel alone, and you're very lonely, and it's just is harder to get through things when you're feeling that way. And so I thought, what if these people could tell their story and find friendships through that and support and comfort. And so I didn't really know how to go about doing that. And I was like, well, maybe I could just start with a vlog or a blog or something like that, where I just post their stories on a website, and, they can, they're able to reach out to each other. And it kind of took off a lot better than I thought it was going to, which is really cool, because I've found friendships through all of these athletes who have contacted me, and I've contacted them. And it's been really cool. And actually, Sideline USA, the big organization out there for permanently sidelined athletes, actually uses my website to give to athletes who aren't necessarily permanently sidelined, but have a devastating injury that is going to take time to get back to the game. So that's been really cool to see that, they're using it as somewhat of a resource for their own stuff. So it's been really cool. And it's been so motivating for me, too, to read other kids' stories and see how they're back on the court or on the field. And that's definitely helped me push through. So.
Okay. I don't know if anyone's just interested in my take on this whole thing, but seriously, you've soaked up every resource, I think, that you could possibly soak up. And you've used every possible thing that you could, focusing on the process, the one day at a time. And I think not only does that help you get through all these things, but you're influencing people outside of yourself that you probably don't even realize. And I know people maybe will tell you every once in a while, you've been an inspiration to me, but there's some that won't. And honestly, everything about your story has been unbelievable, the fact that you're playing right now. So I appreciate everything that you've gone through, and that you're able to share that with everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
So, do you have any closing advice for anybody that's going through similar situations?
Yeah, I always like to close with just be more than a conqueror, be a hupernikeo. Everyone's going to tell you what you can't do, so you just have to prove them wrong by doing what they think you can't do. So that's been huge for me, is just beating the odds. There's a lot of people out there who beat the odds, so don't think that you're any different. So.
Okay, that's wonderful. So, if you're listening and you haven't watched that story yet on MontanaSports.com, make sure you do so. And thank you, Gabby.
Thank you.